Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's podcast. Thank you for downloading today's episode on February 26th. We've got lots to bring you today. We've spoken to a Kent homelessness charity as the government releases their latest rough sleeping snapshot. An awareness campaign has been launched for a rare form of cancer, and a litter of puppies born near Canterbury could be the biggest of Irish doodles in the country. All of that not too far away. But let's take a look at our top story for today. And this has been one of the most read stories on our website. A popular visitor attraction in Canterbury is set to reopen following a multi-million pound revamp. The Canterbury Tales tells the story written by Geoffrey Chaucer, but has been closed since COVID. It'll now feature state-of-the-art holograms, animatronics and puppetry. Lewis Hunt is the new owner. He's been speaking to reporter Jerry Warren.
Now, Lewis, this used to be a very popular attraction in Canterbury until it sadly closed in 2020. But I think you brought it back to life.
It's been 4 years in the making. We're finally there. We all thought in the early days when we first come here to look at the venue that it was a tragic loss to Canterbury, to immersive attractions, because this was, you know, 1986. It was kind of before immersive was even a thing. It was one of the early doors sort of attractions that was doing something unique. You know, every room had a smell that everyone remembers. It had animatronics. It had things. It was just needed fresh pair of eyes, and I think we've done that.
So, I mean, you've employed some of the latest technology, haven't you?
Just give us a
rundown of what people can expect.
Absolutely, yeah. The technology that's gone in here is pretty groundbreaking. We work with some amazing people and some amazing companies. The backbone of it, we're using some hardware and some software called COGS. So COGS is a bit of technology that we've lifted from our other industry, which is escape rooms. There's things from 6 foot life-size holograms and projection maps to some really intricate animatronics. And the way the show walks you through the soundscape, there's over 100 speakers, thousands of lights, to really kind of pull you into the story. Every room has its unique smell, because people obviously really love the smells of Canterbury Tales, and we just try to stay true to that, but they're not blending in each room now. Scent technology's moved on, so they stay in their rooms. But yeah, the attraction now is like a state-of-the-art, high-end show that you would expect.
And what will it bring to Canterbury? I mean, in terms of an attraction?
I think it brings a lot to Canterbury. You know, we've got the Cook's Tale down the road, and the Chaucer bookstore, and even the hospital's called the Chaucer. There's so many things that have been influenced by Geoffrey Chaucer's tales throughout Canterbury, and it didn't have an attraction that was telling the story of Geoffrey Chaucer once this place is closed. And it's back.
Kent Online News.
Other news today, a man in his 50s has died following a head-on crash between a car and a lorry in Kemsley near Sittingbourne. A red Ford Fusion was travelling along Swale Way towards the A249 when it crossed onto the opposite carriageway on a bridge over the Milton Creek yesterday morning. It collided with a lorry coming in the opposite direction. Police are investigating the circumstances. A teenager has denied murdering a 19-year-old who died following a stabbing in Chatham. Harley Purdue was found with a number of injuries at a house in Thorold Road in December. A 19-year-old from London is also accused of trying to seriously injure the victim's pregnant girlfriend. He's due to go on trial in June. A Tunbridge man who carried out a sex attack in Ashford has been sent to prison. Adrian Richardson had met his victim online and arranged to meet them for a date. The 46-year-old from Mersey Road was found guilty following a trial and has been sentenced to 7 years. A man's due at Crown Court later, charged with murder following the death of a baby in Ramsgate almost 4 years ago. The 12-week-old boy passed away in hospital after emergency crews were called to an address in the town in July 2022. 24-year-old Tyler Warmby from Prestedge Avenue was also accused of causing grievous bodily harm with intent. A man's due to be sentenced later after admitted killing another man who fell into the path of a car in Sittingbourne. Jay Garrett died after falling from a wall during a knife point chase in the town centre following a drug deal last August. 43-year-old Chris McLean from Pembury Court admitted manslaughter as well as possessing a knife and being concerned in the supply of cocaine. A registered sex offender from Gillingham has been jailed after he was caught using a private browsing mode when accessing the internet. Malcolm Nix was found guilty of offences involving children in 2015 and has been under a court order restricting his online searches. The 66-year-old from Trafalgar Street has been locked up for 13 months. A watchdog has found Kent police could not have anticipated the death of a man in a graveyard in Dover. The body of Peter Lachetta was found at Cowgate Cemetery in 2019 after he'd been beaten to death. A man and a woman are serving life for murder. There was a 999 call reporting a disturbance in the area just hours before. Multiple recommendations have been addressed to various authorities, including police, as well as health, mental and social services. Now, a driver who led police on a high-speed chase through Dartford has been jailed. Kane Dugbo reached speeds of 80 miles per hour after failing to stop his Mercedes for officers near Prince's Road in September 2023. Police have released footage of their pursuit.
Vehicle failed to stop at deck Sierra Delta 08, Oscar Sierra Foxtrot. The vehicle's currently wrong side, overtaking one vehicle, currently doing 80 and a 40.
He's crashed.
The 35-year-old from Western Road in Strood ran off after crashing the vehicle. He's been locked up for 18 months. A Gravesend man who threw a coffee table at his ex-partner and threatened violence against her parents has avoided being sent straight to jail. Marcus Phillips became aggressive after the victim told him she wanted to end their relationship. The attack left her with a deep gash on her arm. Phillips, who's 26 and from Park Place, has been given a suspended sentence and ordered to attend rehab sessions as well as carrying out 150 hours of unpaid work.
Kent Online News.
Figures released just this morning show there's been a rise in the number of people sleeping rough on Kent streets. A government snapshot from a single night last autumn found there were 174 in total. That's a 17% increase on last year. The highest number was recorded in Thanet with 37 rough sleepers, followed by Canterbury with 29. I've been speaking to Sarah Mills, who's from Canterbury-based homelessness charity Porchlight.
Obviously, they're just a snapshot where there's a period in time where people who were only seen on that evening are counted in terms of the numbers, but certainly in terms of what we're seeing as a charity. We work with people that become homeless or have issues around housing. There's a number of reasons that lean into that. Over the last year, the primary reason that we've seen for people becoming homeless is about family breakdown. So people just not being able to live in the home that they currently were. And, you know, that can be for a number of reasons. A slightly lesser percentage we're seeing, but I think a worrying number is people that are becoming homeless in relation to falling behind in rent or mortgage payments. And I think, you know, we hear a lot about the cost of living and increasing pressures. And I think we're really seeing that as a key reason why some of the people we're working with are being homeless or being made homeless. But I think to narrow it down to one reason, Kate, it's really difficult because it's actually complex and it's often multiple reasons that people find themselves either rough sleeping or in temporary accommodation and, you know, kind of all those other individuals that we would see as hidden homeless because they're not appearing in figures anywhere. They may be sofa surfing. They're not counted through the rough sleep account. So those rough sleeper numbers we know are only a snapshot of the real picture that will be happening across the county.
Is the fear that the actual figure might be significantly higher? I mean, I know that these statistics are going to be used to inform government policy and just sort of how they look at spending and things like that. Is it a worry that they're not going to get an accurate reflection on just how many people are doing it tough?
I think it's not so much about it being an accurate reflection. And I think what we suspect is the rate will remain high. Whether that goes significantly up or down, you know, I don't think we want to say that would be, I don't think it would be fair for us to say. I think in terms of the extent of the issue, we're not seeing any less people coming to our services. So, I think without commenting specifically on the numbers, we know we are still seeing people in need of our support, getting support from other boroughs and the districts in terms of being rehoused and also other charities across the county. none of us are seeing any less people in our services, which suggests this isn't an issue that's getting any less significant across the county.
It comes as the government's revealed they're spending £50 million in extra funding to help tackle homelessness. Police and four fire engines have been sent to the scene of a blaze at an industrial building in Canterbury. Smoke could be seen coming from a builder's yard in Riverdale Road off the A28 Sturry Road yesterday evening. Crews spent more than 2 hours tackling the flames. No one was hurt and it's unclear how it started. 29,000 cases of fly tipping were recorded in Kent last year, according to new figures. That's almost 80 every day. Medway had the highest number with more than 6,200 reports. Tunbridge Wells was the lowest with just over 600. Nationally, fly tipping cases have gone up by 9% in the space of a year. Now, the family of a Rainham man who died from a rare form of cancer are hoping to raise money so other people can be tested for it. Andy Bird was diagnosed with a type of sarcoma after noticing a lump on his leg, which he initially thought was an insect bite. Sarcoma UK is helping to fund DNA testing and research into targeted drugs. Andy's niece, Eloise Parbett, is running the London Marathon for them.
It's a really rare type of cancer and they're one of the most underfunded cancer charities in the UK. I think just because it's so rare, like there's not many people out there that know about it. So yesterday, even when I was doing the half marathon, I had people coming and saying like, why did you choose that charity and stuff like that? So I told them a brief description like about my uncle and what have you. But yeah, no one seems to know about it. So they are really passionate on research. They're doing they've just got a grant from the government, which is all about like genome testing. So they're going to start I think it's called the Rare Cancers Bill. It's just been passed, which is like mammoth for Sarcoma UK. It's fantastic that that even went to Parliament. And yeah, they're just so underfunded and it's so important. And obviously a place in my heart obviously is going to be for Sarcoma UK. But yeah, they're all about like finding new treatment that's going to help prolong life. And also like it can be passed down through DNA. So they like to, they're doing a genome testing now, which then can see if someone's got it like a dad, will the children get it through the DNA? Are they more likely to get it? So they're just putting so much fundraising into that. And it's just really, really important. But it's so expensive. I think when my uncle did his last charity event before he passed away, he paid for at least 3 people to have the genome testing done. So that's really, really important.
Oh, wow. No, that's really good. I think I remember actually when I kind of, when he was doing some of his fundraising, he said, you know, I might not be here, but I want to make sure that this is here for other people that maybe get diagnosed and have that funded in research.
And that was such a massive thing for him when he, because he had it done, because I have my cousin Chloe and my cousin George, and I think he just wanted peace of mind for them. Like he said, he might not be here, but they still are. And he had the genome testing done and it come back that he wasn't a carrier for it. So the children aren't likely to get it unless it's out of the blue like his was. And yeah, he found that like that was such a massive sigh of relief for us all. And like you say, even though he's not here, he wants to be able to provide people with the same thing that he got given. So yeah, it's really, really important for us as a family. We're so, so passionate about fundraising and raising awareness. Like I said earlier, some people just have never heard of it before, and we hadn't until my uncle got diagnosed with it. So I think once you're aware of it, it stays then in your head, and then you always seem to come across somebody else who's had it, or someone's friend's friends had it, or once you're aware of it, it then stays with you.
Kent Online News.
Demonstrators are due to gather outside a meeting in Thanet later following a decision to close the scenic railway roller coaster. We found out last month the ride at Dreamland in Margate will be permanently closing. A motion is due to be raised by the local council leader, urging the venue's owners to engage openly and transparently with the public about the full technical background of its decision. Residents in part of Kent have been left without water because of a technical issue at the Buell Water Treatment Works. It's led to low levels in a tank supplying customers around Lamberhurst and Horsmonden. South East Water say they're in the process of restoring the network. Plans are being put in place to bring more than 1,200 garages in and around Dartford back into use. The council there has appointed a company to manage sites owned by the authority. They'll also improve security and carry out repairs. A couple have been telling us how they've taken over an award-winning pub on Sheppey and want to continue the legacy of the previous owners. The Admiral Arm in Queenborough was run by Rachel Collier and husband Chris for 10 years until the end of January. It's next door to West Street Tapas. Nick and Sue Gray are the new licensees.
Previously to the Admiral's Arm, I worked in the Middle East for 13 years. We got the opportunity to take over the Admiral's Arms on the 1st of February. Previous experience running pubs, it was maybe 30 years ago, before I was a manager of the Queen Philippa. Always drunk in pubs. So I've got a lot of experience on the other side of the bar. But for the Admiral's Arm itself, it's an exciting venture for us because we know how niche it is and how different it is to the normal pub on the island. For the real ales, the customers, the food. So it's something that we couldn't really turn down.
Yeah.
We wanted to make it ours. Also continue the great things that the previous owners, Chris and Rachel, had done, especially for Queenborough as a whole.
Yeah. I've known Chris for, nearly 15 years.
He was actually a DJ at our wedding.
He was a DJ at our wedding, yeah. So it started off with being friends with Chris, to be fair. And then when Chris and Rachel wanted to open up the tapas, he was chatting with Nick, and yeah, he said, oh, do you want to take it on? So I was like, yeah, I'll take it on. So then my 13-year-old son at the time, he wanted to be a washer-upper, and he's now been cooking for the ads. So pretty much I started off by opening up the tapas with my 13-year-old son at the time, with him just washing up. And over the years, I've done the tapas, I've worked behind the bar, done a few shifts in the kitchen, but not many. I feel at home here, and so does like my youngest son. So, yeah, when the opportunity came up, and it made perfect sense, really, because we see Chris and Rachel's good friends who want to carry on their legacy that they've built, and it is a unique pub, and we want to keep the uniqueness of it, not just like the ale side, but like the customers in that as well.
The customers have been really supportive.
Yeah, it's nice. It is a community based pub.
The site picked up an award from the Campaign for Real Ale in 2019. The new owners say they also want to continue with the charity work as the previous bosses raised £50,000 for the RNLI.
Kent Online News.
A Kent dog has given birth to what's believed to be the biggest litter of Irish doodles in the UK. They're a mix between an Irish setter and a poodle. Mum Marigold delivered 17 puppies last month, beating the previous record of 16. Her owner, Miranda Pelleccia, who lives in Blean near Canterbury, has been speaking to reporter Jerry Warren.
My dog became pregnant, we hoped. For a few weeks she didn't show at all, and then not long before Christmas she started to look really round, and I thought maybe there are as many as 12 puppies, but on the 2nd of January, over about 13 hours, she gave birth to 17 puppies.
So it's been pretty chaotic times.
It has.
And you've got three children as well?
That's right, yes.
So has it been sort of sleepless nights with this crowd?
It was a couple of weeks of sleepless nights, and then when they were bigger they've coped better, but they're still keeping us all on our toes.
And you've got a job yourself as
That's
well,
right.
So you've been juggling it all.
Yeah.
But of course they won't stay with you forever, will they?
No, they're nearly ready for their new homes. So.
Yeah. And you'll be sorry to see them go in some ways?
I think we will. Yeah, they've all got their personalities.
They've all got their names?
They've all got their names. We've got Stormageddon in here, Paddle, Beric Stornbrow, Ocotillo. My children helped with the naming.
They're just about to turn 8 weeks old, and from tomorrow they'll be up for sale. Dame Tracy Emin says she's proud to be British as she prepares to open a new exhibition at London's Tate Modern. The artist has described her home town Margate as a tough place, but says she believes art is making it better. She also criticised those who seek to divide the country. A drop-in event's being held near Ashford later to find out what people think of plans for a new woodland. Forestry England want to create a site on the land in Smarden to provide habitats for wildlife and capture carbon. It'll be known as the new Luckhurst Wood. Details go on show at Smarden Charter Hall from 4 this afternoon. Head to Kent Online to get the first glimpse of what a refurbished adventure playground in Folkestone will look like. £750,000 is being spent on the Lower Lees Coastal Park. It's thought the rebuild will be finished in time for this summer. We're told it'll also include more seating along with buggy and cycle parking. And the UK's largest outdoor cinema is returning to Kent this summer. Screens will be set up in the grounds of St Ronan's in Hawkhurst and Cobham Hall in Gravesend. The events are run by Adventure Cinema. Some of their movies include Back to the Future, Mean Girls and The Greatest Showman.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking just a quick look at rugby now, and Kent's Alex Mitchell is going to miss the rest of the Six Nations for England. The scrum half has got a hamstring injury and will be replaced by Raffi Quirk. Ollie Lawrence is also in doubt for the next match against Italy due to a knee problem. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.